Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the 6th canto, chapter 16, verse number 20, what's on the board there, 28? Okay, so looks like 28 is up there, I think. Yeah. Okay, so I'll read 27. Chitraketu stutvam vidyam yata nara narada bishitam varayamasya saptaham abhakshaha susamahitaha. Fasting and drinking only water, Chitraketu for 1 week continuously chanted with care and attention the mantra given by Narada Muni. Text number 28. Tata sa sapta ratrante vidyaya daryamanaya vidyadara dipatyam cha lebhe pratihatam nupa tata sa sapta ratrante vidyaya daryamanaya vidyadara dipatyam cha cha lebe pratiyatam nripa tata sa sapta ratrante vidyaya daryamanaya vidyadaraya dipatyam cha lebe pratihatam nipa tatasa saptaratrante vidyaya daryamanaya vidyadaraya dipatyam cha lebe pratihita lebe prati hatam nipa. Vaishnavis. Tata, from this, saha. He, saptaratra ante, at the end of 7 nights, vidyaya, by the prayers, dharmyamanaya, being carefully practiced, vidyadara adipatyam, mastership of the Vidyadharas as an intermediate result. Cha, also. Lepe, achieved. Apratihatam, undeviated from the instructions of the spiritual master. Nipa, O King Parikshit. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O King Parikshit, after only 1 week of repeatedly practicing the mantra received from the spiritual master, Chitraketu achieved the rule of the planet of the Vidyadharas as an intermediate product of his spiritual advancement in knowledge. Purport. If a devotee, after being initiated, adheres rigidly to the instructions of the spiritual master, he is naturally endowed with the material opulences of the Vidyadhara Adipatyam and similar posts as byproducts. A devotee need not practice yoga, karma, or jnana to achieve a successful result. Devotional service alone is competent to award a devotee all material power. A pure devotee, however, is never attached to material power, although he gets it very easily without personal endeavor. Chitraketu received this side benefit of his devotional service, which he rigidly performed in accordance with the instructions of Narada. So, if it's okay, I'd like to just read the next verse because it's... No? Ah, ha, ha, ha. Okay. It's very similar to this verse. But it's okay. All right. Without your permission, I won't. But anyway, it's very similar to this one. And this is a very nice verse. Jai Om Gyana Tanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmilitam Yena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manobi Stam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagatam Ayam Dinanti Swabhidantikam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Vancha Kalpa Tubhyas Cha Kripa Sindhu Bheva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So this verse and the next verse pretty much ends up the section here where he's chanting his prayers, and he gets the result, the byproducts of his chanting. And then it goes on to where he actually gets the darshan of Lord Sankarshan, and he offers some wonderful prayers to him, and then Lord Sankarshan enlightens him more further. So this is very, very... important to understand, and this verse is bringing out the point of the spiritual master, how we have to dedicate our lives to devotional service. If we do that wholeheartedly, like King Chitraketu did, then we'll get the byproduct, which is the nectar of devotion. We actually develop some devotion like that, so that's very important. But we have to be engaged in devotional service. We can't just merely renounce the world or, you know, think that we're on a spiritual path because we're a yogi or some kind of jnani. Actually, Prabhupada, there was a lecture, he explained how, I like these hippies very much because that is their good qualification. They're very, very renounced. But, you know, he said they need some knowledge. Otherwise, it's not real renunciation. So this knowledge is very important, and this comes from the spiritual master. Because the enlightened souls, they have seen the truth, they're able to reveal that truth to us. So this is what King Chitraketu was being enlightened by a great devotee, Narada Muni, who has seen Krishna himself. And Narada Muni has this great potency to give mantras, said just in a short time you can see Krishna. He gave a mantra to Dhruva Maharaj also. Within a short time he got the darshan of Krishna. So this is the byproducts of devotional service. These are very powerful byproducts. Not only do we get products from the material energy, as we can see, you know, we perform some activity, you get some earth, you get some wood, and you can make a particular table or a chair or something, or you get some minerals from the earth, gold, you can create rings and stuff. So they're all byproducts of the earth. So you can understand the earth by all its different byproducts. So similarly, Krishna is a supreme person, and he also gives off byproducts. This is what the Mayavadis are trying to destroy, this understanding that Krishna actually gives byproducts. He has energies that he gives. They try to change that to say that Krishna transforms, he changes, you know, into different things. But actually, no, Krishna gives off byproducts. He never changes. Just like it's described how the earth gives up so many different products, yet it stays the same. The sun emanates so many different rays and energy from the sun, and it creates so many byproducts, but yet the sun remains the same. So similarly, Krishna, he gives off so many byproducts, so many different energies, and yet he remains the same. He doesn't change. He doesn't become illusioned or anything like that. So our process is to engage in a particular activity to get some byproducts. So before anything happens, we have to plant a seed. There's the seed of material desires. If we plant them, then we get materialistic things. But there's a bhakti lata seed that's given to us, that if we plant that and water it properly through the hearing and chanting process given to us by the great saints, the great devotees, and Krishna himself, who comes in the form of Lord Chaitanya, who's given us the process, he's given us the bhakti lata bij by this hearing and chanting process. So if we hear and chant properly, then there will be a certain byproduct. So we know that if we engage in mature activities, there's so many different products from the external energy. And they are the dualities of happiness and distress, birth, death, curses, favors. These are the natural byproducts of contacting this material world. So we have to understand how this is Durga. She's actually in charge of this material energy, and by her potency, she gives off these different products, these different byproducts. Prabhupada writes here that those who are not Narayana Pada, pure devotees, they must be disturbed by this duality of the material world. Whereas devotees, if they're simply attached to the service of Krishna, they're not at all disturbed. And Prabhupada used the example of Haridas Thakur. Even though he was caned, beaten in 22 marketplaces, he was never disturbed. He smilingly tolerated all the beatings. So this is those who fix their mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, and if we concentrate on the holy name of the Lord, we won't feel these so-called pains and pleasures caused by the dualities of this material world. In fact, just the opposite of that, what is the byproduct of our chanting the holy names? And Haridas Thakur talks about that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Liberation and extinction of the reactions of sinful life are two concomitant byproducts of chanting the holy name of the Lord. So just like the example that's used, the gleaming morning sunlight, just as the sun is rising, it immediately dissipates the darkness of this world. And this darkness is like a deep ocean, it's described. But if the holy name is chanted just once, offenselessly, it dissipates all this darkness of our sinful life. So this is how very auspicious this chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And Haridas Thakur explained this very nicely in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Antya 3, and how he talks how liberation, even though it's unacceptable for pure devotees, it's always offered by Krishna without difficulty. And these things like Salokya, Sarshti, Sarupya, Samipya are oneness with me. Even if I offer these, the devotee rather prefer Krishna instead, because he's not attached to these byproducts of the material world. So Prabhupada writes here that in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, that in the Vedic literatures, there's information of a material product called a touchstone. And simply by touching, it can transform iron into gold. So this touchstone can produce unlimited quantities of gold and yet remain the same. And then Prabhupada writes here how only in the state of ignorance can one accept the Mayavadi conclusion that this cosmic manifestation and the living entities are false or illusory. So we talked about Krishna giving out these different byproducts of all his different energies. They're actually not false. They're not illusion. They're just temporary. So the Mayavadis tried to say that the absolute truth, it changes. And Prabhupada writes here that there's no possibility of change, ignorance or illusion being in him. He is completely different from all these material conceptions. So our byproducts, as described, we can see we there are children, we have byproducts, or you make something like that, there's certain byproducts. So when one engages and consults the real intelligence of the spiritual master, the scriptures, then he can see that his real byproducts should be the expansion of his Krishna consciousness. Because if you actually become Krishna conscious, then not only do you get these spiritual benefits and liberation and material power and all these things are just concomitant factors, just simple byproducts of the actual goal, which is love of Godhead, we can see we get everything. We get material and spiritual welfare products that, according to our needs in devotional service, Krishna provides everything. Just like the temple, there's a temple construction going on. Everything here, this wood, you know, mortar, nails, so many different things are being used. This is all spiritual. They're not material. It's actually non-different than Krishna because it's being used in his service. So this is the perfection of the devotees. They are able to see things properly. They're trained. They have a vision of eternity. Queen Kunti gives a nice analogy about the foolish observer. She talks about that in the first canto. Maya javani katjanam agya dokshajam avyayam na lakshase mudhadrisha nato nataradaro yata. She talks about them as the foolish observers. Beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are eternally irreproachable factor, covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. So a foolish observer is one who's actually seen everything as for his enjoyment. Or this is for me, mine. So these are the class of men of a demoniac mentality. And they're reluctant to accept the Supreme Lord as the absolute truth. And this is basically due to their poor fund of knowledge and their stubborn obstinacy. And this results from their misdeeds, you know, in the present and in the past. For the less intelligent person, bowing down before the authority of the Lord, as generally done in the temples, mosques, or churches, is as beneficial as it is for the advanced devotees to meditate upon him by active service. So this active service is very important. how we are engaged in devotional service. This is activity. We're engaged in our senses, in the senses of the Lord. And by doing this, whatever we touch, whatever we engage, it becomes spiritual. Because everything is Krishna's energy, and we're using it in that proper way, then it is actually considered to be spiritual. And the Bhagavad Gita also says that those whose minds are not developed, even though they might try to see things properly, they cannot see them. That's in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The endeavoring transcendentalists who are situated in self-realization can see this clearly. But those whose minds are not developed and are not situated in self-realization cannot see what is taking place, even though they may try to. So these are like the scientists, the yogis. You know, they're trying to see things in a particular way, but they can't really see anything properly. Why? Because they are not situated in self-realization under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. This is how important it is. One may think that they can engage in jnana and yoga and try to understand the Vedic scriptures without the guidance of a pure devotee, without the guidance of a proper spiritual master who has seen the truth, then they're actually, it's not possible. Prabhupada writes here that only those who are actually in the yoga system and have realized the self, the world, and the Supreme Lord, in other words, the bhakti yogis, those engaged in pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness, can understand how things are taking place. So we see, we understand how whatever we see, if we have the vision of eternity, if we're not foolish observers and we are engaged in the science of self-realization under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, we can actually see Krishna everywhere. We see Krishna in everything. Because it's all from Krishna. Krishna's byproducts. Krishna's the same. You know, just like the analogy, if you study the earth, earth's byproducts, you get to understand the earth. Like that. So this is our process of Krishna consciousness. But we need this guide. It's very important to have a guide. Otherwise, we will not be properly directed. By submissively hearing and serving the spiritual master, one actually contacts the Paramatma and becomes qualified to receive his directions and enlightenment from within the heart. So, once we're engaged in devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, we've already received or already achieved the Paramatma realization. But those who don't have this guidance, you know, from God's representative, from without, they shouldn't expect to receive direct realization of God from within. There's the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, 434. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The God-realized souls have seen the truth, and they can impart knowledge unto you. So there's a verse in the Adi Lila, and it talks about this Samvit Sakti, which produces the effect of cognition to actually understand and see things properly. This is from the Adi 4. The essence of the Samvit potency is knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Lord Krishna, and all other kinds of knowledge, such as the knowledge of Brahman, are its components. And Prabhupada writes in the purport here, the activities of the Samvit Sakti produce the effect of cognition. Both the Lord and the living entities are cognizant. Sri Krishna, as the Supreme Personality Godhead, has full knowledge of everything, everywhere, and therefore there is no hindrance to his cognition. He can have knowledge merely by glancing over an object, whereas innumerable impediments block the cognition of ordinary living beings. The cognition of the living beings has three divisions: direct knowledge, indirect knowledge, and perverted knowledge. Sense perception of material objects by mundane senses, such as the eye, ear, nose, and hand, always produces definitely perverted knowledge. This illusion is a presentation of the material energy, which is influenced by the Samvit Shakti in a perverted manner. Negative cognition of an object beyond the reach of sense perception is the way of indirect knowledge, which is not altogether imperfect, but which produces only fragmentary knowledge in the form of impersonal spiritual realization and monism. But when the Samvit factor of cognition is enlightened by the Hladini potency of the same internal energy, they work together, and only thus one can attain knowledge of the personality of Godhead. The Samvit Shakti should be maintained in that state. Material knowledge and indirect spiritual knowledge are byproducts of the Samvit Shakti. So we can see this whole process of understanding this philosophy of the byproducts. I forget the Sanskrit name for that, but this is actually the philosophy of how we understand Krishna through the byproducts of the material world, that these are coming from him and that there are spiritual byproducts also that we attain by our practices. So when we receive the seed of the Bhakti Lata beads, the seed of the chanting of the Hare Krishna Ma mantra, and engage in devotional service, specifically worshiping the deities, temple worship, Prabhupada said that's very important, that one can't simply in this age imitate Haridas Thakur and simply sit down and chant Hare Krishna and think the seeds and the byproducts of devotional service will result. But we have to actually do both. We have to engage in devotional service, serving the deities, you know, engage in temple worship, engage in some practical service by engaging our senses in the Lord. And then in that way, we actually get the result of the nectar of devotion, love of God. So this is what I wanted to say today, is how we should become spiritual observers and see everything as Krishna's, see all products, byproducts as Krishna's, and understand that we have the ability to plant seeds to get certain products. So we mentioned the seeds of the material world, you know, comes with so many sufferings and bickerings and, you know, enmities and things like this in the material world. This is the seed of that. But if we just carefully, as King Chitraketu did, he took the instructions from Narada Muni and he carefully chanted this mantra for 7 days. And after 7 days, he got the result of his devotional service. You know, he received from a proper spiritual master, and then he got the darshan of Krishna, which is very powerful. So we can also, before anything happens, any kind of product or anything, there has to be some idea, there has to be some seed planted. So similarly, before we get this wonderful product of love of Godhead, we have to plant this seed very carefully and take care of it like a gardener and protect it from so many other subtle seeds, what to speak of gross seeds, subtle seeds in the mind that are watered, and they actually weed out that product and it chokes it. So this is our process of Krishna consciousness, and we're very fortunate to have such a place where there's deity worship, where we can chant in association with devotees and be amongst like-minded devotees. Because who you associate with is what you actually become. That's what feeds your desires and these seeds. So we should really appreciate each other and this our particular place where we are. And that way we'll be fortunate and get so many wonderful byproducts of Krishna consciousness. So it's 7 after, and if there's any comments or questions, realizations, there's plenty of time. So no comments, questions. Thank you for your kind attention. All glories to the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Haribo Prabhus. If anybody has seen a book bag, please, I left a book bag with a Srimad Bhagavatam. Please give it back to me.